Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to Yo-Yo Wiki Podcast Super Hyper Fun House. Tonight's episode is brought to you in the amazing 3D. So be sure to put on your Yo-Yo Wiki Podcast brand 3D glasses now. You did remember to buy your 3D glasses, right? Good. Let's welcome our 3D host, Josh Parker.
Hello, boys and girls. I'm coming to you in 3D. Check it out, boys and girls. I'm coming closer to you. Now I'm further away. It's amazing. And that's the end of the 3D segment. I hope you enjoyed your $25 3D glasses. Now let's get started with...
Shalikdo. Doc popular. Yo.
Wiki.
Yo.
Wiki.
Yo.
Wiki.
Yo.
Yo. Radio.
Yo. Radio.
Wiki.
Yo. Wiki.
Hey, welcome to the 37th episode of Yo-Yo Wiki Podcast. That's right, it's the big 37, a very special episode for us. I'm Dr. Popular, living in San Francisco, and all the way from the Midwest, Minneapolis, represent, it's Josh Parker. Josh, how are you?
I am fantastic this week. Other weeks, maybe not so much fantastic. This week, very fantastic.
Yeah, all right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about since last week's episode was held hostage. We recorded it all, and then some Cuban rebels actually grabbed the episode, and they're holding it hostage, and of course we can't negotiate. So, we've got a lot to cram into this episode. First off, should we just go on and get started with the yo-yo sensation that's sweeping the nation and parts?
That's right.
Parts of Europe.
It is time for Name That Yo-Yo.
Name That Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo. All right, I'll go ahead and throw first. You ready for this?
All right.
It's kind of quiet.
Very quiet.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, that is not ball bearing. Heck.
Any guesses?
No. Can you thump the body? Duncan Imperial.
You're close, but wrong brand. This is a
Omega Imperial.
Omega Fireball.
So it's a transaxle yo-yo. Does it happen to be a College for the Easily Amused brand, Omega Fireball?
No, this is special, though. This is a limited edition Dazzling Dave Kate Marie Fireball.
I was hoping it was the Steve Brown Nose edition.
If only. But we'll get more on that later.
All right, so stock yo-yo here. Also very quiet. And
oh wow.
Yeah, so it's obviously rubber.
Is that your eBay super metallic missile death yo-yo?
Nope. Not really that close. I mean, in certain aspects, you're right, but it is not that wonderful yo-yo.
Okay.
This yo-yo was, depending on who you ask, taken into space?
Mm-hmm.
Not my particular one, but this.
Yeah.
Model.
I don't have any idea. Is it the metallic missile?
It is not the metallic missile. It is the Silver Bullet 1.
Silver Bullet, of course.
A wooden axle, Silver Bullet, stock. The SB-1 was,
okay.
According to certain historians, the first. I've never gotten clarification on it. It drives me nuts. Because Duncan claims to also have had the first yo-yo taken out of space, which was a Duncan Imperial. But, yeah.
The Duncan Imperial would make more sense.
But, I mean, it was done in the 80s, and this was an 80s yo-yo, the SB-1.
Yep.
I mean, the booklet has pictures of the SB-1 in space, and it says the first show you had taken in space. There was actually I had dinner with Tom Kuhn, and he told me that an astronaut that spent like a month in space lab, or maybe 2 months in space lab, had an SB-1, and he sent it back to Tom, including calculations of just how many around the worlds it did. It's like 1,000 around the worlds or something, you know?
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
All right.
Good episode.
So should we get started on the news for this week then?
All right. You want to talk about yo-yo stuff, or you want to sprinkle the yo-yo stuff with the – you know, first off, let's talk about the most recent thing on the boards, Mickey's poor sportsmanship is the topic. Mickey is a sore loser. I am saying that his routine was not as good as usual, and I was very surprised that he was surprised that he didn't get first, or, you know, because it wasn't that great of a routine.
Well, I don't know that he was upset that he didn't get first.
Well, what was the whole problem?
You're probably right. He was upset that he didn't get first, but I think he was more upset with himself than he was at any judges or scoring or anything like that. Because obviously, you watch the routine; it was not first place.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he got second. That's really the amazing thing.
Yeah.
But exactly. So the talk on the boards is about there's a photo that Joe Mitchell put up because Joe Mitchell is a total jerk and has the right to criticize other people when they are unhappy, and so Joe put up a picture calling Mickey a poor sport and a total loser because he's frowning in a picture. He's actually frowning in quite a few pictures. If you look at the awards when everybody's up on stage, Mickey doesn't have his award on. Apparently he put it in his pocket and just kind of sat up there. He does sort of look like a bad sport in there, but you know, some people bring up the point, you know, like what somebody can't be sad, you know, after they work so hard on something. I would just sort of hate to see yo-yoing to be – I mean, everyone keeps comparing it to like you know, you never see a football team, you know, being polite after you know, losing the Super Bowl. But at the same time, I don't want yo-yoing to become like that. You know, I don't want – you know, I difference between the way that our players act. You know, like Paul Hahn, as was pointed out, is just this consummate – you know, performer and sportsman, and, you know, he's gotten second every year at BAC or whatever, and you never see him, like, heartbroken or whatever. He was happy to be up there at third, and he did a good routine this year.
Right.
So I guess more than criticizing Mickey, really, you know, I just would like to point out, like, you know, how cool it is to have players like Paul Hahn, like, just be up there and just be happy that, you know, they worked really hard and they got a chance to be able to perform, and you know, if they win something, it's even a bonus for him or whatever. I totally believe that Paul is like that. You know, if he would have gotten fifth or whatever, he still would have been, you know, shaking, you know, Yuki's hand and all that stuff. Even if he had a crummy routine, even if Paul like went up there and, you know, just for routines don't go the way we plan them, and, you know, he wouldn't hold that against himself or anybody else. I don't think. Right. He'd just be happy to be there. So is that the end of that? Is there anything you wanted to say about that?
No, I think the whole story pretty much speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original story I heard, which was from Kia, was that when he got his medal, he placed it on the – he took it off of his neck and put it on the floor and walked off the stage. But apparently that was an exaggeration. So that's where a lot of my early misconceptions were formed, was just the fact that he refused his medal or whatever. But it turns out, you know, he was just on stage and he wasn't thrilled to be there.
Yep. Yep. That's about the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on, you know, with you?
With me, tons of stuff. For many months, I have had this idea of working on a collaboration with Love Life Bags. Love Life make this messenger bag that, if you've seen me in the last year, I probably had on. It's a green, unusual upholstery print messenger bag, and the inside is made with the recycled scraps from storefront signs, like vinyl signs. Well, I've been a big fan of their bags, and I've been discussing with them for a long time of doing a collaboration, and finally got my hands on 10 yards of raw selvedge denim, which is the sort of stuff that Kia sells in the store and the stuff that I tailor. And I'm just learning about all of it, but I know that it's, you know, be very durable. And it's also got this cool thing where, you know, denim, like good blue jeans, they'll kind of age and they'll sort of really fit your body and they'll kind of get these cool wrinkles and stuff in them that really, just, you know, it's kind of what we like about denim. And, so I bought some of this and we're going to do a collaboration. We're going to do 7 bags together in the beginning. And if it works out, we're going to do, maybe 18 more bags, in December, using a slightly lighter, but still selvedge denim. So I'm so excited that I've been wanting to do this for a while. I was mocking up drawings. I did all sorts of work and I was just waiting for them to say yes. And they finally said yes. And, she started last night. We shook hands and I gave her the fabric and, I'll be, in there in and out throughout the week, helping them sew and, you know, kind of putting in 50% of the work on the bags themselves. So, I'm super stoked about.
That is so cool. I know you're a big fan of that Love Life stuff, and you do carry that bag everywhere. So,
well, even more than that, I mean, the Love Life bag, when I got that, I got some scrap. I asked them, you know, hey, are you going to throw that away? And they said, yeah. And so
you going to eat that?
Yeah. And that's what got me into trying to make wallets and then, you know, trying to make hats and all this other stuff. It was all from a piece of scrap that I got from them. I was just really inspired. And since then, it's become a business. You know, I've got Doc Pop Crafts on Etsy where I'm selling my wallets and stuff. And those are doing really well, especially overseas. Lots of people buying them. So,
really?
Yeah. I mean, well, when you think about the I've been thinking about it, the currency exchange rate. I mean, a $35 wallet might seem high here, but to them, it's like a seventh. And even sure. the shipping is like $8 there, $4 here. Well, $8 there is sort of like $4 for them. So it's, you know, the shipping's not outrageous and the cost of the product's not that outrageous. Plus they're as starved for denim as we are here. I mean, if anything, we have more denim stores here, but it's also coming out of Japan. So they're having just the same amount of trouble finding salvaged denim as I do.
Oh, good deal. Good deal.
Something else that happened was this Wall Street Journal used me as a source. That was pretty cool. They did an article on Nerdcore, and they consulted me. I was a consultant on the piece, and they didn't.
Well, they did an article on genres.
Genres, yeah. They told me it was on genres, but they were asking so many in-depth questions and stuff like that. Going to be a big Nerdcore piece, and it ended up being a paragraph. Where the word nerdcore was mentioned twice in that paragraph. It was a full article on genres, but it was pretty cool. My favorite part was when talking to John Jurgensen, the author of the genre article. He actually talked to Tom at MySpace, and so I'd been trying for, I don't know, almost a year now, maybe a little less, to get nerdcore added as a MySpace genre. And we've started this big letter writing campaign, and I know it's very effective. There's, you know, there's probably 1,000 people on MySpace right now with the banner up on their site. And anyway, never got a response from MySpace. And so finally, through John Jurgensen, I got to hear Tom's opinion on adding genres to the site and everything. So it was kind of cool. It's kind of like we were communicating to each other. Because I would say, like, you know, his contact button hasn't been working since December, and I would tell that to John, and then John would tell me the response to that or whatever. And it was the closest thing I could actually get to a conversation with MySpace about this thing.
All right. So do you think you're a step closer now to getting Nerdcore? No.
Now that the Wall Street Journal has mentioned how specifically Nerdcore isn't on MySpace, who knows? Maybe. I mean, at least MySpace probably reads the Wall Street Journal or whatever. Where they're probably not reading our emails, you know, the thousands of emails that are coming in, you know, maybe someone's going, hey, we should do this, you know, because they read it in the paper or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could be close.
Hey, this article says people are trying to contact us about something.
My email's down?
Thought it was strange that I haven't been getting a lot of email. All right. So, Doc, are we still mad at Yomega?
Well, I, you know, never was that mad at Yomega, because I think that the World Video Contest is a for-profit industry. It's not a, you know, non-profit for the players kind of thing. It's totally for Greg. And, you know, people get stuff out of it, you know, and so that's fine. It works out for everybody. But, you know, I think it's kind of, if anything, I'm excited that we're at least maybe talking about the fact that for $5,000 you get practically nothing at the World Video Contest. You know, a little tiny logo on the back, and you know the lighting's not that good, and where's all this money going? And we have all these volunteers, so we're not paying them. It's $80 to register, so you know the sponsors aren't paying. I don't know. Like I totally, Yomega totally was perceived as a terrible people on that. And then the thing I didn't understand was when Alan wrote his response, which is really just geared at Steve and Greg, who both had been very personal on the issue, when Yomega responded, it was perceived as an attack on the players, where so everyone's like, well, they pissed me off, I'm going to boycott them. And people even said, like, you know, I'm thinking about, like,
well,
shutting them down from our sponsorship or whatever.
The letter that Alan wrote was not directed at Greg and Steve. It was directed at everybody who read that letter.
It was directed at everybody who just totally was just agreeing with Steve that, yeah, Omega sucks. You know, how could they not sponsor the event and, you know, set up their own table outside of the place? There was no perspective in Steve's letter, and I think all the responses that Yomega was responding to were all these kind of one-sided responses. So they were responding to that. I don't think it was, you know, dear reader, you are stupid. We don't like you. It was definitely geared at like saying, you know, we have questions about Greg's event. We don't feel that it's run properly. It was pretty clear. The opening sentence was the one that talked about the Steve Brown nosers and stuff, and
It was one of the most insulting things I think they could have written, coming from the CEO of the company.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a very impassioned thing, but that just comes from the fact that Steve's.
It was rude and insulting.
Okay. Well, tell me why you think it was rude and insulting, though.
Because it was rude to everybody who wrote it, insulting their intelligence, and it was insulting. I mean, there's a difference between being impassioned and getting your message across and being insulting to get your message across. He had 3 days, 4 days to sit on this before he responded, and it was still just bitter and sarcastic, and it made me completely ignore any points that he made. Like, he made good points, but I don't even fucking care because that guy's a dick.
Okay. We should get him on this show.
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah, I wonder if we can do that. I do think that he definitely could have it seemed to me like he was angry, like he was still angry when he read the things. He was angry at the responses he was seeing. And it seems like Greg, a few days later, like said, hey, I was a little harsh, you know, to the players, whatever, and I apologize. It seems like at some point Alan could have said, look, my points are still here, but I want to apologize for the way that I addressed everybody. I will totally say that he at some point could have redacted his attitude and kept his points.
That being said, I've talked with Greg quite a bit about the World Yo-Yo Contest, and it is not a profitable event. I firmly believe that in 2007 it did not turn a profit. He does have a roadmap for the event, and in 2008 it should be a profitable event because every year it's growing, mm-hmm. and every year it's more efficiently run
and more
and
expensive,
everything like that. And more expensive.
Yeah, every year it's more expensive.
Yeah. But that has to go along with, you know, everything's more expensive every year. And in 2008, it should be a fully self-sustaining, profitable event. And he's got a nonprofit formed for it. And so once it is profitable and self-sustaining, he plans to have the nonprofit run it. And it will become a separate entity from Infinite Illusions. Because as it is right now, the event could not exist without Infinite Illusions absorbing the loss.
Well, that's because Greg won't let it. And I understand Greg doesn't want to let it go, but Taka has totally, that, you know, he will take the cost, or the Japanese National League, which actually is a non-profit in Japan, will full on take all the costs associated with it. They've been saying that for years. The Brazilians and the Germans have also offered to take it off his hands, but Greg,
and I think we will see things like that happen after this nonprofit is set up, and he plans to remove himself from the organizing of the event, because mm-hmm. It's a lot of work for him, and it's going to be an international committee that sort of oversees the World Yo-Yo Contest and will be making the decisions and everything like that. That might be 2 years off, but I think it's a good goal.
You know, that's actually different than what Greg told ago, which was, even though he was planning on releasing, you know, control and moving it around circa, you know, 2009 was when he was saying, 2009 or 2010, he said he would like start letting it go around. But he also told me that, that, you know, he's invested a lot of work into it to grow it. And he spent a lot of money to grow it, ever since its infancy, you know, outdoors at Disney World or whatever. And he felt that he was entitled to profit off of that once it does break even. He said that there's no reason that he shouldn't continue to, I'm taking a loss now, but in 4 years I plan for it to be a profitable business for me. And there's no reason that I should give that away, because if I did all the work and then someone just gets to take away this, you know, self-sustaining thing, that wouldn't be fair. So he was telling me, you know, like I said, circa 3 years ago at the last one I was at, that once it did actually start making money, because he was claiming he was losing like $80,000 a year on it, was his claim. He said once it does start making money, that there's nothing going to stop him from keeping that money because he deserved it. So that's just very different than what you're saying in terms of once it becomes self-sufficient, I'll let it go.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like the same thing to me, but maybe at the same time it is, though, because if he didn't have to take the loss and he could just go in there and vend, he'd be making huge profits.
Yeah, even if he paid $5,000 to get in. Actually, yeah. His table is two tables wide, so that would be a $10,000 table.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on, because we've only got a few minutes left here. I got my Save Death DVD. Of them, I'm going to resell them on Etsy. I love the packaging. Comes with little 3D glasses and everything. Sort of the inspiration for our little 3D intro today. Yep. A little heartbroken that Mobius is misspelled, but that's I guess that's just something I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life. Like, no matter how clarifying I try to be. Whatever. I mean, it's not my word or whatever. It's, you know, sciences, but whatever.
Science?
I guess Mobius himself would be the only person that could be offended by it. But still, I'm really glad to see Mobius featured so much on there, as well as Astro and all sorts of other things. I haven't seen the 3D segment yet. I'll see it tonight.
All right. I enjoyed the 3D segment. I think that's my favorite part on the DVD. Not even for the 3D-ness. I just think it's a fun video.
Mm-hmm. In other news, I know that Anti-Yo is going to have a new yo-yo coming out soon. I think it's going to be about a $400 yo-yo. It's made out of some rare... It's going to be made out of some rare metals, something rarer than magnesium or whatever. And the reason I know all this is because I'm making raw denim selvage bags for them. So I'm excited. Kia has them. Why are you laughing? Kia has them right now, and they should be hitting the stores on Saturday, I think.
Is that the Yvette?
It's called the Risky Business.
The Risky Business. Okay, I've heard of
business.
That.
It's playing with it is a giant risk.
Yes, excellent. They're clever over there.
Yeah. Also, that John Robb versus Jake video. Jake was amazing. That was a killer video. Don't even watch John Robb's. Go to the YouTube spot and find Jake's and just study it. I want to see that at Nationals. That was so good.
Yeah, it's fan-freaking-tastic. The thing that frustrates me the most about John Robb is that he's like, the video sucks, deal with it. And it's like, well, I'm not going to deal with it because I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one who put up that bring your game, you know, video like 6 months or whatever. Like the one like calling everybody out for making bad videos and not being innovative enough. So when you say something, kind of follow through.
Yeah, exactly. But man, Jake really just pwned John Robb on that. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, it seems like there was one more thing. John Robb, new NTO, Saved Death. Hey, Wiki.
You see Superbad in theaters?
Superbad, I hear, is incredible. I love Knocked Up. You said you like Stardust, okay?
Yeah, take a date to it. You know, it's a good date movie.
We'll do that. You know, here's the one last thing I want to mention. For anybody interested, I saw Eric Wolf's, it kind of got buried on the board because things disappear on the board so fast, but Eric Wolf put up a recap of the World Mod Yo-Yo Contest. I linked to that and also put up some pictures and also some up on my blog, docpop.org/blog. So if you go there, you can check out kind of my recap of World Yo-Yo Contest, mostly focusing on S. Khan, who's just amazing. He did the wheel design this year with the spokes, and then he did a wheel design last year with Bigfoot, the monster truck yo-yo. And so, you know, feel free to check out that blog and leave any input. And that's it for me. I think this has been a fantastic episode.
I think so too.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Episode number 37. Yeah.
Special episode. Big 37.
Very special. Yep. Very special. Yeah, thanks for listening. It was good talking to you, Doc.
Good talking to you, baby.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.